And joining us now is Dan Kennedy, who's a professor at Northeastern University School of Journalism. He is a regular panelist on Beat the Press, a weekly roundtable program on media issues on WGBH-TV in Boston. And from 2007 to 2011, he wrote a weekly online column for the UK Guardian's Comments is Free America section. He blogs at Media Nation, is a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and the Boston Phoenix, and has an article at CNN, Our Greatest Day Turns to Horror. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dan Kennedy.
Thank you, Ian. Thanks for having me.
And your piece is at CNN, Our Greatest Day Turns to Horror, really explains to me as an outsider the deep feelings that Bostonians feel towards this day, this Patriots Day, and how it's celebrated with the America's oldest marathon. And you're saying here that that it's deep in the civic psyche of Boston.
It really is. For people who are not familiar with Boston or Massachusetts, the marathon is the most important event on Patriots Day, but it's really just part of what is this enormous family-oriented holiday where it's a holiday, it's a day off from work, where you can go watch reenactments of the Colonials fighting against the Redcoats. You've got the Red Sox having their once a year, they have an 11 a.m. game so that the baseball crowds don't get in the way of the marathon crowds. And then finally, you just get thousands and thousands of people lining the 26.2-mile marathon route from Hopkinton to Boston. And the reason that so many people are able to get out there and watch the marathon is indeed because it's a holiday. So it's just been this wonderful tradition, and it has been irrevocably altered, I'm afraid.
And it's a holiday involving lots of school children, right? It's the first day of the spring vacation.
That's right. I mean, it's their first day out of school, and so that adds to it, and that certainly explains why so many kids are on the scene, including Martin Richard, the 8-year-old boy who was killed, and his sisters who were so badly injured. So I mean, it's if anybody had wanted to pick I hate to even use the word better, but a better time and place to carry out an act of terror like this, they couldn't have done any better than this. I mean, this was just really a place that everybody was watching around here, and everybody was just completely horrified and by what happened.
And of course, it's obviously I was just speaking then with Mark Potok, who follows the right wing militia movements in this country, and it's incomprehensible to figure out what the motives were in this case, because of the victims were all Americans. That's the only thing they had in common, except the event itself, the marathon, is incredibly international. You saw all those flags of almost every nation on the earth. There's people in it in this race, has it not?
Well, that's true, but at the same time, the people who have dominated the winner's circle in recent years tend to be from East Africa, from Kenya, from Ethiopia, and those countries. And certainly I'm not aware of any terrorist inclination against people from East Africa. That seems like at least in the United States, that seems like a fairly uncontroversial part of the world. So it's a little difficult to imagine that it was the runners that anyone was trying to hurt. And indeed, the runners were not hurt because the bomb was not the two bombs were not close enough to where they were running through. It seems that it was clearly aimed at the spectators and at killing and injuring as many of them as possible.
Again, I'm speaking with Dan Kennedy, professor at Northeastern University School of Journalism and a regular panelist on Beat the Press, a weekly roundtable program on media issues on WGBH-TV in Boston. And he has an article at CNN, Our Greatest Day Turns to Horror. Obviously, there was no way in the world that law enforcement could protect this route. I mean, it's not – nobody obviously ever thought that this would happen. I mean, it's –
Well, I would push back on that a little bit. I think that for many years now, and especially since 9/11, anybody who's really thought about this has thought that a big open sporting event of some kind would be vulnerable to this kind of attack. So I'm not sure that that many people around here were completely shocked that something like this would happen. Of course, it's always shocking when it happens. But it is the sort of thing that in the aftermath of 9/11, you did hear people talk about. But the point you make is exactly right. It's a huge open event. I mean, there's very little security that you can do over a 26-mile route. Now, they do have more security at the finish line, which is where the bombing occurred. So you can see that even with the additional security that they have when the runners come in past the finish line, there was really only so much they could do. And I suspect it's going to be a lot more locked down in the future. But at the same time, again, I do wonder how much they can do given the nature of the event.
And in terms of how the Boston is responding to both the victims and their families, what's your sense of the city that you observe and comment on, Dan Kennedy?
Well, I think that we've seen this in other attacks like this. Certainly, New York pulled together after 9/11, after some of these horrible mass murders like Sandy Hook in Aurora, Colorado. I think that we saw those communities pull together. And I think we're seeing that now in Boston, too. I mean, one of the stories that people keep repeating is that some of the runners, upon crossing the finish line and hearing about this, just kept right on going to the hospital so that they could give blood. And many people were letting it be known on the internet last night that runners who were stuck in Boston as a result of this could stay at their homes. And I think there's been a real outpouring over the, well, certainly the one victim whose name was released the earliest, Martin Richard. And I think that we're going to see the same outpouring over the other two victims as they become better known.
Well, I've only seen the picture of the young woman who was killed, and it's, you know, it's heartbreaking to see such a joyous looking young woman be victimized.
Absolutely.
In this way.
And it turns out she was a waitress at a restaurant my wife were at a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's a small town. That's the other thing about this that I think that your listeners should know. Boston is a small town, and everybody knows everybody. I think all of us knew people who were running in the marathon. And as soon as this happened, you could get onto Facebook and immediately see people checking in and saying, you know, I'm okay. Is so-and-so accounted for? We all know people who were running. Many of us have given money to the causes that they were running to represent so that they would be able to get entry to the marathon. So as large an event as this is, it's also very intimate, and it's something that we're all connected to.
So just in closing, Dan Kennedy, is there any sense in Boston on the ground where this investigation's heading?
You know, I know that within the last few hours, the police said that they recovered the circuit board that may have been used in triggering the bombs. So I think that the media here have been very good about not speculating as to who was behind this and what the motive may have been. Certainly some of the some of the speculation that you saw about the young Saudi national really did not infect the local media around here, and I think that's to their credit. But I do think there's a sense that the authorities are moving pretty quickly on a number of fronts, and certainly a great hope that a suspect or suspects will be identified in the next day or two or three. Certainly if that doesn't happen, you're probably going to start to see frustration begin to set in, regardless of how difficult this task is for law enforcement.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Dan Kennedy.
Well, thank you for having me, Ian. I appreciate it.
Again, I've been speaking with Dan Kennedy. He's a professor at Northeastern University School of Journalism. He's a regular panelist on Beat the Press, a weekly roundtable program on media issues on WGBH-TV in Boston. And from 2007 to 2011, wrote a weekly online column for the UK Guardian's Comet is Free America section. He blogs at Media Nation, is a regular contributor to the Huffington Post and the Boston Phoenix, and has an article at CNN, Our Greatest Day Turns to Horror. We're going to take a brief station break and we're back talking about China's release of a defense white paper revealing the structure of its military.